Welcome back to A New Sound with me, Morgan Brown. I hope everyone is doing well this week. I hope everyone is being safe, happy. I think it's a point to say that we are pretty done with this COVID life. I think we're over it. But, you know, every day gets a little bit better, a little bit more positive in the future. And honestly, that's kind of what I needed today on the podcast. My guest on the show is the amazing Alarissa Rose from the band Dread Buffalo. We've been friends for a pretty long time now, going back to at least 2012 from when we both worked at Newbury Comics. But our band Dread Buffalo is absolutely amazing, very cool psych rock band. And this week has been hard, I'm not going to lie. This week has definitely been a really difficult week for me, just emotionally, physically, psychologically, some would say. And I was so happy to be able to talk to her today because this was such a positive podcast. It was such a positive interview, great environment, and we talked a lot about music, we talked a lot about creativity, we talked a lot about creativity in COVID, we talked a lot about music industry stuff, on how to go about marketing. So without any further ado, this is my interview with the amazing Alarissa Rose. She absolutely made my day, and I hope she makes yours. So stick around. Here's a little snippet from Dread Buffalo. And thank you so much again for listening. I really appreciate it. Check out this interview. Stay positive. We got this.
You know, I've been okay. I've been as good as you can get in this.
While the world is completely burning.
Yes, exactly. You know, this is fine. This is just fine. But no, you know, I've been really good, all things considering. Even though this year has been really crazy, Dread Buffalo got to put out an album, so we're really stoked about that.
Congratulations, man! And like, I know you've been very busy with music.
Yeah, which we've been really lucky to have. Like, you know, we've been rehearsing safely, and pretty much the only thing I do right now is focus on Dread Buffalo, you know, market online, talk to people, talk to you, you know, and then just do some recording. And we just got a new drummer. Her name is Angie Heaney, and she's fantastic. Goes to Berkeley. Yeah, so we got some lineup changes, we got some stuff changes, but that's like the little like lowdown of stuff that's been going on with me right now.
I mean, I get that. I mean, COVID aside, I think this year has been very challenging specifically for every person in the arts or anyone who's doing creative things. Mm-hmm. But honestly, out of all people, like, you're really making the best out of it, and that's pretty sick.
Thank you. No, I truly appreciate that. Yeah, you know, we are trying our best, and I usually say we just because I feel like I have a lot of people supporting me all the time. So it's usually a group effort when anything happens. But I appreciate that. I've been doing the best I can. And how have you been doing? How have things been on your end?
You know, I've been okay. Things have been fine. Life is crazy.
Yeah.
Back and forth from Boston to New York safely, obviously.
Yeah.
Just running around, again, trying to make the most out of all of the time that we are having in isolation and time
yes.
of dealing with our own issues with no distractions. And it's been mentally challenging on every front whatsoever.
It's really true.
Focus is crazy. Because you just have those days where you're just like, man, I can't function.
But no.
Also,
oh yeah. No.
Where you're like overproductive. Like you're.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and then you drive yourself crazy.
Exactly, and that's why you have those underproductive days, because you know resting is just as productive as production. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
So yeah. So then
going back into the beginning, because I remember obviously we worked together around like earlier in like the 20 or late 2010s and stuff, and then. When did Dread Buffalo actually start? Like, when did the whole music projects? I know you were always, we've always talked about music. And when we worked together,
definitely.
We talked about music. And music has definitely been a thing that we've always been associated with, specifically like going to shows and supporting our friends.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But when did your actual, because I feel like Dread Buffalo wasn't necessarily your first band, but I think this is the one that's been like, so when, what was the transition like going from like just kind of random musical projects that you're trying to work out to like actually having like a lineup band?
Yeah, something a bit more cohesive. Yeah, exactly. Well, we, so it started off with just like, you know, like any girl who's trying to talk about her feelings but doesn't really know how to do it.
I relate to that too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, a girl, you know, girl aside, any person who's just trying to figure out their feelings, you know, I have an acoustic guitar, I have a lot of emotions, I have a pen and piece of paper. We start there. And then that was, I just started writing songs, you know, as everybody does. And then I started working with my friend, Paul Curran, who is actually the current bassist of Dread Buffalo. And we met through like a slew of friends, you know, going to shows, you know, hanging out with other musicians, talking to whoever. And we started working on just my solo stuff because we hung out, he listened to my music. He was like, oh, I love this. Like, let's work together. And I was like, wow, no one's ever said that to me before. Let's do it.
Positive and reinforcement is very underrated. Words of affirmation is...
Huge. I only thrive in situations where I get at least like some form of positive reinforcement and validation. It doesn't need to be excessive, but it needs to be enough to water the plant. You know what I mean?
Oh, I absolutely know what you mean. Yeah. I totally get it.
So yeah, we just, we started working together and, cause of like my name, Alarissa Rose, he was like, oh, what if we're like the Rosebuds or something? And he's like trying to find these like different ways to make like it a band. And so then it was like just the Rosebuds. And then it became kind of like Alarissa and the Rosebuds. And then, when that happened, Paul said to me, hey, I know a guitarist. Or actually no, at the time he was like, I know somebody who plays drums because Paul was playing guitar for me at the time. And his name is Chase Cavaco. He's the current guitarist of Dread Buffalo. And so he brings Chase in and we just have a rehearsal and Chase listens to my songs and he's like, oh, these are fucking baller. I love them. Let's do it. And then Paul was on guitar. Chase was playing drums. Then Chase was like, mind if I try guitar? And then Paul was like, you know what? I'm going to try bass. And now Paul's one of the coolest bassists that I know. He has really flowered as a bassist from his startings with different instruments. And he like plays the saxophone. It's crazy. But so Chase came along and Chase was like, okay, well, we have a guitarist, a vocalist, and a bassist. We need a drummer. I know a drummer. And this kid, Justin Fosdick, who goes by Foz, he has his own solo project now, which is actually pretty good. He just released a little like solo EP, I think a little while ago, but it's under Foz.
We also love a shameless plug for any friends too, because I think that's try to support as many people as you possibly can.
Oh, hell yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, no, he's been doing some really good stuff. And I like a lot of his songs. This is one Pseudotherapist that I really enjoy. But yeah, so he was doing drums for us. And that was the beginning of Dread Buffalo, but we were Alarissa and the Rosebuds because we didn't have like a name yet. We knew it was kind of a placeholder, but because we had already been in different projects. Foz and Chase were in the Terrible People Experiment, TPE, which was like a Plymouth like band. And then Paul, he was in Extract with a couple other people, Dio and Davey. And they were like a more Weymouthy kind of Quincy area band. And like, you know, there was like two separate scenes, even though they were very close to each other.
Well, I think all the South Shore music scene is super connected in general.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I've seen it.
It doesn't matter if you're from
Canada. I've seen it mesh.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's ever because everyone does shows with each other at the same venues, at the same spots.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah. Absolutely. And then the whole thing just becomes like one whole South Shore music area. And so, yeah, so they started, they had their own experiences with that. And I had worked with Extract a little bit too. So that's kind of how I knew Paul. And we wrote a couple songs together in that band. And then, yeah, so we just started doing that. And then we had like a million different lineup changes. Paul left the band at one point, came back because we freaking missed him so much. Oh my God. It was every single time we had a new bassist, we were like, we literally just want Paul. When will our boy come home from war? It was just so yeah. And now we have our honestly the most solid lineup we've had. And this all started in like January 2019. It was like January 28th,
okay,
to be
so
specific.
It really is recent somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely recent. More recent than my entire, like, you know, musical upbringing, but it's the most recent project. It's the freshest and the newest. And yeah, it's been going on for the last 2 years, lots of different lineup changes. And now Chase Cavaco on guitar, myself, Alaris Rose on vocals, Paul Curran as bassist, and Angie Heaney as our drummer. And she's the newest, and she's been such a breath of fresh air. She's like so quick to figure everything out and just really tight, you know, like a really good backbone of a drummer. So we're very lucky to have her.
Now, how was going from like finally having a solid lineup? Like, how did that shape the record that you put out? Because obviously, I mean, I've been following like the band and stuff from like your first single. Mm-hmm. So then when you wanted to put out like a full length record, what was that process like now having like kind of all the cohesive parts together?
You know, even with the most recent album that we put out, that was kind of flying by the seat of our pants. Like, mm-hmm. we got more cohesive after the album got put out than before.
That tends to happen. Because I think it's all the writing. And then if you're playing shows and if you're playing the songs, man, you just can see the evolution for like how a band can like tighten up so well.
Oh, absolutely.
It's crazy.
And that studio time is gold. I mean, if you're playing that part over and over and over and over and over, you've got it at that point. Like, and also, you know that that's the version that's going to be kind of like immortalized of the song. So you're mm-hmm. really pushing yourself. Like, for some of the vocals that I did, particularly in the track Night Owl, the vocals that I did in that, like, it didn't take a million times, but it really pushed me to like a limit of just like, how can I really get my voice to that point, you know, to just mm-hmm. like that high point of like, this is really cool. So yeah, it was nice.
No, I think that's awesome. I think it's just interesting to see on how you can transform as a band as you've been releasing. Now with the new lineup and everything, how is future music going? Are you planning on doing another full length singles? What's the vibe that you're trying to do right now? Like, despite all of the mm-hmm. writing that has definitely gone on in COVID.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We already have like three new songs pretty much all set for the new album. We have like, I don't know, at least like 8 or 9 other ideas spread across everybody's like cell phone recordings. Like, you know, we have a bunch of little like knickknacks here and there. But for right now, we're either looking at one of two things. We've been debating the possibility of putting out an acoustic EP of just kind of like 3 songs or maybe like 6 songs. Cause I personally like releasing things in like 3, 6, 9, or 12. I just mm-hmm. think that's nice. But we're thinking of either doing an acoustic EP because we, during COVID, like, you know, it's a little bit harder to play as loud if you just, cause we moved to the city for a little bit. So we ended up having like a lot of acoustic moments and we wrote a couple of songs. There's like a mandolin track that we have that's really nice. Chase and Paul, like they orchestrated that all together. And, you know, we're either doing that or we're going to go back to another full length album. So it just kind of is like whatever the vibe is right now, because right now our biggest thing is Angie is so new to the group. So we're getting her on board as fast as we can. And then we're going to go back into just writing new songs and we'll just see kind of where the vibe is from there. Because, you know, maybe at that point in 2 weeks or a week from now, we all want to do acoustic songs all of a sudden, or we just really want to stick to like, you know, our kind of hard rock, psychedelic rock stuff we've been on.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go with the flow with how you're feeling, specifically the writing, definitely. Especially the circumstances as well, because then we're also talking yesterday and your work with Mind Talk as well. Like, mm-hmm. I love how you have not a B band, but it's like you always have a place to put out music for whatever you're fitting. I think that's really important as an outlet too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just useful for artists in general to have multiple outlets. I think like one little Instagram post I saw that like really hit home for me was just like, artists should have hobbies that they don't monetize or try to mm-hmm. make, you know, professional. Because like, you know, like me and music, we are like hand in hand walking down into the sunset. We're gonna make money. We're gonna take over the world. We're gonna, you know, I'm gonna build skyscrapers, right? But mm-hmm. then I like to paint. You know, I like to, you know, just kind of write aimless stories. You know,
so important. It's extremely, I mean, I like, obviously, I do so much work in music. I do so much work in film. I started mm-hmm, the podcast mm-hmm. as just an outlet, just to be able to talk to my friends and like have that as a hobby. And I'm happy that it's gotten traction as much as it has. But at the same time, it's for me. This is just my outlet to be able to connect with like new friends, old friends. It's just such an important aspect of my life. And I really do love it. But
that's fantastic.
Going back, so obviously your new record is out, you're loving it. And then just a quick back, because you are one of like the most fascinating people that I've met in my life. Like your whole backstory is fascinating. So I do want to dive a little bit into how you got into music.
Sure.
Like how your whole experience was being brought up and like everything else. So what was the main attraction like to you with music when you first started? Like when you first started like growing up, what was the thing that like clicked for you?
Oh man, I actually
on the new set when we're about, we have some real questions.
Yeah, right.
Let's dig deep.
No, I love it though. Honestly, these are my favorite things to talk about. It's like real shit. I also love talking about myself. So you caught me at the perfect time of my life.
This is why I invited you on. I invited you on for this reason alone.
So yeah, I mean, I fell in love with music actually in dance class. So when I was
I totally forgot that you had a whole like dance history. Like, yeah, you're just a crazy bunch of hats wearing all the time. Like, very artistic, creative human.
Thank you. No, for real. I truly appreciate those comments. When I was a kid, I took like tap and jazz and I think some like interpretive, oh no, it was ballet. The jazz thing was like the interpretive stuff. And it was super fun. I had fun. It never like caught me like music did, but like in my dance classes, you'd hear the same song over and over and over and over. So you start learning the words and like, I would just start singing along to them. Like it just was involuntary. Like I was just singing along to them all the time. And my teachers were like, super cute, that's fine. Just don't do it on stage. You know, like we're dancing here, we're not singing. So I was like, okay, sure, whatever. And then in the fourth grade, there was like a mandatory choir that my elementary school had, which like, you know, 75% of the population loathed, and there was like a small 25% that actually did fifth grade choir. I was a part of that 25%, and yeah, that was a fantastic time, just because it was the first time I realized I was good at something. I was really good at something, you
That's
know.
An
I
important thing. That's so yeah. Important.
Yeah, because for a while up to that point, you know, it had just been like school, and like I was a kid that I was really good at lying my way through not having to do a lot.
I think I'm still that way. I think I'm still that way as an adult.
I'm absolutely still that way as an adult. I put 110% effort into the things I actually enjoy, and like 15 to zero if I can manage it for everything else. So I really fell in love with music and like in the fourth grade, and I started like, you know, auditioning for the parts. You know, you're singing like SpongeBob SquarePants themes and you're getting the solos, and it's like it's a dopamine rush. It's like a whole serotonin rush of like, oh my God, like I'm good at this and I'm center stage and my mom's taking photos of me and everybody's jealous because I have the part, you know. It's awesome. And then fifth grade rolls around, I stick in choir, I do choir till I graduate high school. I get to like, you know, I don't even remember what we called it. I think it was like select choir or something, like in the 12th grade. That's all prestigious and whatever.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Quincy High.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I totally spaced out. Yeah, South Shore shit, man. Everyone is so cohesive.
It's true.
Like, I always forget like who's from Weymouth, who's from Braintree, who's from Quincy. Like, it's, yeah, because so, everyone knows each other from crazy ways. Because I met you,
yeah, it's true.
Newberry, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So yeah, yeah. So we all kind of know each other from a bunch of different areas. Right. Yeah. You know what's a funny fact that I think is 85% true?
Sure.
Do you know the song "Miserloo"? Oh my God, I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly. By Dick Dale. It's like the Pulp Fiction song. It's like a surf song. Yeah, yeah. That I think Dick Dale went to Quincy High. I went on his Wikipedia page for some reason, and I think it said that he went to Quincy High, and unless that Wikipedia page is wrong or I read something wrong, but I think that's true, and I think that's kind of cool.
Now every single time, as if I didn't have enough fun facts about Pulp Fiction, I'm
right,
definitely gonna pull that one out as well.
Yeah, exactly. You always need more Pulp Fiction fun facts. Like,
be like, yeah, he's from the South Shore, Mass, baby. One of us. So you're going to high school in Quincy, and then where does the like? So you're doing choir and everything. When does like the alt rock band stuff coming in?
Oh yeah, well, first of all, I was a scene kid in high school. Like
we both were.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So you understand. I mean, you know, My Chemical Romance.
Something I can relate to.
Yes. You know, My Chemical Romance. I'm going to Warped Tour. My first concert ever was Warped Tour. Like I literally,
what year?
You know, oh God, I have no idea. Oh my God, I have no idea. Like
definitely early to mid 2000s.
Yeah, like maybe age. Like a 2012, maybe a 2013.
Ooh.
You know,
real
something
scene. Real scene.
Yeah, real scene, like deep in it. Like I was, you know, I looked just like everybody else who didn't want to look like everybody else. You know what I mean?
That's the point. It's the mecca for scene kids.
Yeah. And yeah, I just, you know, I started going to shows. I started getting really into classic rock. I started really getting into like 60s and 70s style of music. And then of course you discover Janis Joplin.
And then there it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's an awakening as a person.
I have Janis Joplin.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, no. Exactly. And I mean, honestly, even in like the scene, there were a lot more like men, except for like Hayley Williams, of course. Paramore. Yeah. Oh my God, I loved Paramore. As a person who identifies as female, seeing other female roles with other people who also identify as female, just like be excessively feminine and be fucking rock stars. I mean, that says something to you, you know, it does something for you.
I mean, representation matters in every aspect.
Absolutely.
It totally does. So, I mean, obviously from your perspective, it's huge coming from that. So you're playing it. So you start like loving that music. You start getting into it. When does the actual singing with a band start for you?
And then singing with the band starts for me. Okay, let's see. So I started hanging out more with my friend Davey, and
who I've known from Barroom Heroes.
Yep. So he worked with Barroom Heroes. Yeah. And he also had another band, Extract, and that was also with Paul Curran, my current bassist.
So then it all kind of folded in.
Yeah, that's where it starts to fold in together, because he was like, yeah, I have this band, da da da, and then I'm like, oh my God, cool, like I want to sing with you guys some more. And I was, oh my God, I was so timid. I was such a shy little baby. Also, I had a lot of like theater background. A big part of my
musical
artistic...
theater kids, scene
oh
kids.
Yeah,
we relate to each other on a whole new
yes
level.
No, seriously, we have a lot of similarities, you and
it's
I, Morgan.
It's true, man.
And yeah, I was, you know, I was a high school thespian, and I like just did everything there. I got the Wicked Witch of the West part, you know, I got to be loud and brash and singing, and
oh,
you know,
I'm totally shocked.
Yeah, right.
That's
I worked
sarcasm
on that
for the kids on the podcast, for the listeners at home, that was deep sarcasm.
And yeah, so you know, that's where I really found also my love of the stage and being like a character, you know, just being something a little bit bigger than myself, you know, and knowing that you're kind of channeling this energy again from something bigger than you. And like it went from that, and I just kind of started working with Extract, and then eventually I figured out that I wanted to have my own group, but as always, you know, you don't know where to start, so you just kind of keep going. I've had people ask me before, because I work at Guitar Center, so every once in a while I'll have like some younger kid, and I tell them that I have a band, and they're like, how do you get into a band, like how do you start a band? And like my biggest and best advice, which kind of sucks right now because of COVID, is just like go to shows, meet people. Yeah, just keep doing the music, like literally, like it's like if you just keep doing whatever you can, like let's say for example, you know, you only have your bedroom and a couple of loop pedals, and you know there's an open mic down the street, just fucking go to it, you know. And like I said, COVID does bring a damper on things. I'm sure there's like a lot of like nice online forums now, but at the same time, when all this stuff is over, go out, just do anything, and you'll meet a bunch of people.
No, absolutely. So now you're working with Dread Buffalo, you have the Mind Talk side project.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's so funny that we were talking so much, because I think one of the reasons why I definitely wanted to have you on the podcast is to talk about all of the industry stuff that doesn't really get talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we were talking a lot about just, well, what has your approach been for like marketing, opposed to say, like, because that's like, because I think we are both, I don't want to speak for you, but I think both of us, we're just so supportive in our friends. Like we're just so extreme. It's like, I am a huge champion of others.
Definitely.
So
I see that in you a lot, Morgan.
It's really, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to promote my own band and my own music and stuff. Mm-hmm. Not saying it's not a confidence thing, but I love my friends so much that I could be like, go listen to this band. Tell everyone
about
it.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? So I think getting that like marketing and like constantly talking about yourself, for me at least, puts me in a hard space where I'm like, oh, I don't want to do the social media.
Trust me.
So what has your whole approach been to at least starting? Because I mean, you have like a pretty good amount of following for within the year of putting out your first album. And obviously, congratulations to you as well.
And thank you. No, for real. Thank you. I mean, it's been like a you know, throw a bunch of stuff at a wall and see what sticks kind of approach, because I never got any formal business training, formal music marketing training. Like, really what I've been doing is just talking with people like you, my friend Erin Gaffney, another shameless friend plug, by the way. She just put out a single, Erin Gaffney. She's freaking amazing. She just hit like 100,000 streams. I think she's at almost at 200,000 or something wild on Spotify. So proud of her, a queen. And I just, you know, I'm working with her because, like I said, she got to that point of streams and I'm like, well, what have you been doing? And she was like, well, there's actually this really nice website called Fiverr, and that's a place where you can find like playlists to submit to, and you can either pay to get on certain playlists or you can promote to different radio stations. Like, there's this one radio station called like Phoenix FM, and it's in, oh, I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, but it's in England, it's in the UK. and I can't pronounce the name of the town correctly, but it's called Phoenix FM, and it was like, you know, $5 and we'll play your song. And it was just cool because I listened to the whole like stream that they did, and all the other like artists were all just like indie, never heard of them before. So it's nice. It's like, that's kind of like the extension of just go to the open mic because you'll meet new people. It's like, just put your name out there. Just like, if it's what, it's $5.
You never know who's listening, man. You never know who's on those playlists. It's a truly baffling thing, because specifically when you're running a Spotify campaign and you're doing timelines and you're working on marketing initiatives, it's so challenging because you never know what exactly will work.
Oh yeah. Oh no. Yeah. You just don't.
You could put so much effort into it. And then I think as a professional in the music industry, from my end, it's so difficult sometimes because, again, you do a lot of different things for very specific groups. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm working on an indie rock commercial thing, then it's going to be a lot of, like, I guess I'll say finding the sound will help marketing excel more, because
definitely
as the world has expanded so much, and specifically through TikTok and other social media, there is a niche for everything music that there could be,
everything possible.
So niche is going to be the hardest aspect, but it looks like you're so concrete, especially with the Dread Buffalo stuff, that it really comes across as authentic.
I appreciate that. I truly do. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that just comes from a place of all of us just like desperately wanting to have this relationship with music that is, it takes over our whole lives. I mean, it's just like, I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking about the thing that I did yesterday to make sure that it's done for the band, to make sure that today I have to do this for the band. And when is our rehearsal? Okay, that is scheduled. Okay, cool. So I can think of something else that I can schedule. You know, it's just like my life revolves around rehearsal. And so for it to be, I mean,
hard. It's balancing every aspect of it. Like, there's definitely performing and then there's everything else. But then we were talking about like, oh, when is the right time to get a manager? When is the right time
to do all
of those things? And again, it just depends on budgeting and what avenues you want to go into.
Yeah, because you were saying, like, you know, what you taught me when we spoke, because for the listeners at home, I've been speaking with Morgan a little bit because he has been working in a record label, Silverside, and I have very interested to see what he's been up to and how he could possibly give me some of that knowledge that I so desperately lack. And I've learned that managers make 10% of whatever the income is of the band, and agents make 15%. What is the difference, Todd Price, between
from my music industry class in college, if you're listening, know that I did the homework.
Yeah.
You know that information too.
There you go. So see, I'm getting that college education for free. What's up?
I got you. I'll hook you up, man. I will hook you up with everything, dude.
And so, yeah, I mean, when it comes to the management stuff, like, you were talking with me about how maybe it's not time for Dread Buffalo to get a manager just yet, just because we don't have that specific like stream of revenue that's constant. Like, we'll make t-shirt money, and that t-shirt money will make sticker money, and then that sticker money will make pin money. You know, we're kind of funding ourselves that way. But in terms of like the bigger streams of revenue,
it's all a funnel of like collecting and then spending it correctly.
Yes.
For me, as like an indie artist or someone who I would talk to an indie artist, they'd be like, oh, well, I want a manager to get opportunities.
Yeah.
But for me, especially now in this world where,
yes,
I'm not saying you don't even need a marketing person or you don't even need an agent. It's just taking your money with that and either spending it on marketing platforms, making ads,
sending,
and then specifically saving up for more studio time just so you can create more content. I think that's like, we're in such a weird era of specifically, we are so content heavy. Like,
yes, absolutely.
And I wish I was like that. I wish I could be someone who can go on TikTok every day and make a video. I wish I could go and make songs every day and put them out and be like, even if they're like 30 second things, like for videos, and constantly be promoting on social media. I am not built for that, even in the slightest. And I wish I was, but it's just so much, you know?
But you know what's nice though, is you have to play to your own strengths. Like, sometimes knowing who you are is knowing who you're not. And, you know, for example, you've been running this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't run a podcast. You know what I mean? Like, I can market and do all my stuff, but like, I don't know how to do podcast stuff. I've never even really been interested in it except for being on one like today. So, you know, it's like, I feel like though there are people who are, like you said, TikTok every day or Instagram post every day, or they have a weekly two videos on YouTube, like everybody finds like their own way to kind of scream into the void, and you just have to find the one that doesn't drain you body, mind, and soul.
Absolutely.
And then
how
it kind of works.
You with that, like, what is your aspect on that? Like, what do you do to constantly still push through the days that are tough, specifically?
Yeah, definitely.
COVID. I mean, I like, artistic stuff aside, every day has just been a new thing.
It's been a new historical event.
Every day.
Every day. It's like, I wake up in the morning and like Twitter is on fire because like, literally, like, I mean, I'm not even going to get into politics, but it's just literally the fact that we are living through historical trauma that will be talked about for generations to come, and our children will ask us what the hell happened, and we're just gonna have to be like, okay, settle down, because we're just gonna have to talk about it. So, but what I like to do during this, you know, less than easy time, is I just try to find whatever makes me happy, and I try to figure out a way to like just push it out a little into the world. Like, for example, like I said earlier, I like to talk about myself. So on Instagram, you know, not only will I try and post, like, sometimes I'll do makeup and I'll post this little makeup photo, and then I'll talk about my mental health journey in the comments, like caption section. And then, you know, you get some engagement, and it's like, I don't even necessarily do, because that's on my personal profile, but my personal profile is used to promote me and my life and, you know, Alarissa Rose, the product, you know, but it is me. Like, it's not just me for the money. It's me because I'm me, and if you pay me, that's cool too, you know. So so for that, whatever makes me happy, first of all, that's the most important thing to me. I try and find just something that makes me happy every day, because sometimes that can be hard. And then B, when it comes to specifically the band, anytime you are performing a show or a live stream or getting together for rehearsal, that is a photo shoot opportunity.
That's really good advice.
Yes.
Really
that
good
is,
advice.
That is the first thing that I started latching on to, because if you are all dolled up with your band and you're not taking photos of it, you are wasting these outfits. You can't just give it to the 30 people in the audience. You have to give it to your hundreds of thousands of viewers online. Like,
I love that. I've never gotten dolled up for band practice once, but now I'm going to.
But see, now you can even do that. You know, you can get a little like, if you decide, you know, you can be like, guys, rehearsal, we're all together, A, and B, let's just look a little pretty and take some photos. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be anything extravagant. It can just be like the nice lighting. Anybody's basement will do, even sometimes, if it just has tapestries on the wall, you know. It's like, it's mostly like, nowadays, as much as people love when things are like beautiful and aesthetically pleasing, they also love like just genuine, authentic, this is what we're doing and we got our sweatpants on content, because everybody's got their sweatpants on. I've been living in sweatpants for the last like three months, you know. So being relatable is really important, but it's not about forcing the relatability. It's just acknowledging the fact that you're a human, you're relatable. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely,
I'm just,
absolutely, man.
Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
I'm sitting here doing my stuff. I'm sure somebody else is doing something similar, you know? And like you said earlier too, like finding your niche and finding that market is just about kind of like, I mean, this is cliche advice, but like being yourself as much as possible. It's like, what does that even mean? I mean, that's literally just making a choice that you would make. Just like make that choice that you want to do and be the person that you want to be on a day to day, and don't think about like, oh, what are my fans going to think? Who's this going to think? As long as you're not hurting anyone.
I go down that rabbit hole so much. I literally have been falling down that for so long at this point where having 2021 like goals or anything. I didn't really do the New Year's Eve thing, like anything, but I've always said this year, I just want to be the most authentic version of myself I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is going to be determining, like, for instance, would like, are you writing songs for people to hear them? Are you writing songs for you to like them? Because I think it really is, you have to like sit down and really decide why you're doing the thing you're doing and if it makes
definitely
you happy. And that's been such a big struggle for me specifically.
That's
like
valid.
do I only write songs, do I only make music for people to say, Morgan, you're great, I really like you, and I'm like, great.
Or do I
do it because I'm like, oh, I want to write songs that I want to make, like,
right.
That is, and I think that's a struggle that's always ongoing for artists in general.
Definitely. Oh, absolutely.
It's hard to not just be like, oh, bedroom pop is really in right now, let's be a bedroom pop band,
right?
But the fact that you can stick with the things that you like and want to do, I mean, that's going to be the most authentic and personal way to go about creating
definitely
any kind of art specifically.
Yeah, and that's where like the good content comes from. I think another little, you know, Instagram post that I saw that really spoke to me was an artist like does their best work when they're not really trying to please anybody and they're just kind of following their heart or their inspiration or their anger or their frustration, you know, whatever it is, whatever that pull was for you to create in the first place, as long as you kind of keep following that butterfly down the path, like, you know, to continue the metaphor, there could be a beautiful sunny path and then there's like maybe like a little bit more of a swampy path, and the butterfly goes down the swampy path, just, I don't know, put some rain boots on, like, just figure it out, like, just kind of,
you just should write slogans. You should write those metaphors that everyone posts on Instagram.
Yeah, right. I mean, I read enough of them as it is. I might as well contribute.
Go for it. Yeah, just get an artist and like make a thing for yourself. Because damn, you're really spitting out some philosophical shit.
Watch. This podcast, when I'm, you know, platinum recording artist, people will be pulling from this. Back in the day, she was so authentic. Now she's just a sellout.
Oh my god, they're like, what happened? Like, open Dread Buffalo. You're so authentic.
Yeah, right.
You're literally on The Voice.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's what happened.
That's what happened.
It's called money, baby.
Yeah, right. But honestly, to go back to the thing you said earlier, with trying to find what pleases an audience and trying to find what pleases you, honestly, both of those worlds can kind of exist in the same place, but the person who's the most important to please there is yourself, like, truly. Because if you don't like what you're playing, you're not going to play it well on stage. It just doesn't matter. Like, you have to have a good time. You can't just be like, they like this tune, so I'm gonna sing it. Like, it'll come out, but everybody can sense it. People are way more intuitive than they let themselves be, and they'll be like, I just didn't like that band for some reason, intuitively, because they knew that they were just faking it, essentially.
Well, I think I've had other conversations on the podcast specifically about music and other areas and like a level of like professionalism and everything. And there is, I mean, there's definitely, like you said, there's two roads. There's an extremely nice sunny path, and there's an extremely like kind of gross swampy thing, where if you're playing and you are extremely polished, you've got sound cues, you've got synths, you've got a full band, that's sick and that's commendable, absolutely, but there's something in the little things that make a band seem so much more personable.
Oh, definitely.
And I think that is, I mean, I'm not gonna say none of the South Shore bands are polished, but I'll say that a lot of the venues specifically and the bands that we've played with, there's definitely a heart to it where you
Yeah, it's like a real emotion. Like, I mean, every band I've encountered, honestly, on the South Shore, whether I liked them or not, based off of talent or type of music, depending on the type of music that I enjoy, I always felt like they were really speaking from their hearts. Like, it wasn't ever, I mean, and I honestly can't even damn the people who decided to just make pop music for the sake of pop music. Like,
yeah, I love that.
That's the whole thing.
Music, yeah.
Yeah, I love pop music. I love when people like, because the whole point, what I'm saying is, it has to make you happy. If making pop music that a million people will love, that you know is like, you, Jason Derulo is gonna like feature you on his next track, like, you know, it's just gonna be top 40 sensation.
That'd be sick. That'd be
like, sick. Yeah, right.
Would, I feel like people who like know me specifically, like you and the people who like we grew up going to shows with and stuff, and the people who we know, if they saw like Jason Derulo featuring Morgan Brown, people would straight up end it. They'd be like, no, there's no, I am giving up on humanity. There's no,
no, that'd be sick. I honestly, I think that'd be sick. Like I'm a commender. I'm somebody who really, really appreciates all styles of everything. And I have a hard time with people sometimes when they say stuff like, oh, like it's pop music and they're just, you know, selling their souls for the plastic world. And I'm better than you as an artist because I talk about my trauma, whereas you just talk about the boyfriend you broke up with. And it's like, it's all the same shit. Like, it doesn't matter.
Can you please write a song called Selling Your Soul for the Plastic World? I really appreciate that. And I think that's just, that's more fan, like fandom from me for Dread Buffalo. So
yeah, right.
If you could make that happen, that'd be all right. Sick.
I'm writing it down. Selling your soul.
That's a solid. If that's your next single, I swear to God, I will genuinely like chuckle. But no, I mean, look, we can make jokes and all this other stuff. But again, it really does come down to happiness. And again, we are two people that really want people to succeed. And I
definitely
think that's kind
of
a bond that we've definitely shared so much. And it's like,
definitely.
And especially, I think it's interesting that you, like, from working in Guitar Center and stuff for you, like, you have met so many other musicians that I
probably definitely
wouldn't have even had the point to meet. You know,
yeah. I mean, honestly, another way, if you, for the listeners at home, if you're trying to find someone for your band, go to Guitar Center. If you're trying to find a drummer, hang out in the drum section for a little bit. Someone's gonna come by, they're gonna play, you're gonna like it or hate it, seriously. And then you're just gonna be like, hey, are you doing anything for the rest of your life? Wanna take over the world, maybe? Like, it's that easy, really.
I love that.
Actually, that's how I, you know, it's actually hilarious. That's exactly how I found my current drummer. Like, albeit I work at Guitar Center, so I have a bit more access to being there 8 hours a goddamn day, but that's how I met Angie. She was just on the electric kits upstairs, and I just did my usual sales pitch, and then we started talking like real people, because I usually talk with real people anyway, and then, you know, the rest is history. So, but yeah, I mean, it's been really nice, and like with the wanting to see people succeed, it's like, I really feel that, because like, again, even in like Guitar Center, it's like, you know, someone's asking me, what kind of strings do I need? Like, can you give me a recommendation? And it's like, I want you to have the best strings. Like, I want you to have the 9s are easier, but the 10s have the tone. Like,
it's so specific, but I do love it. I mean, it's, yeah, as part of it's sales stuff. I mean, you really do want people just to be happy and be happy with
definitely.
No, I have a lot of, I mean, shout out to a lot of the people at Braintree Guitar Center who I'm friends with, you know.
Oh, hell yeah. Nice. Yeah. Oh, and shout out to Boston Guitar Center, because that's where I was just recently working. And now I might start working at the Attleboro one. So, hey, pre-shout out to Attleboro. I might be in your hood sometime soon. What's up? Who knows?
I am honestly so proud of you with Dread Buffalo. I love all
thank
your
you.
Music stuff. I think you are a gem of a human and always
have thank you
been,
so much.
But also, like, again, if you ever need anything, let me know. Music, I always want to chat music. And
of course.
For listeners at home, go check out Dread Buffalo.
Oh, thank
go,
you. Yes,
go
please.
Check out Ellers or Rose. She's amazing. Go support every artist you can. This has been like the most positive podcast I've had recently.
Oh, good.
So, it's actually like kind of, I was having like a rough day, and like now it's like, oh, great. Awesome.
Good.
I'm feeling positive for the future. I'll go write songs now.
Oh, good. You should. And if you don't, that's fine too.
Exactly.
You know?
If you need a binge watch and chill on the couch like you've been doing for the last 4 months, great.
Just do it. Who cares? Like, yeah, like I said, as long as it's making you happy in the moment, because, you know, just to say another thing about some mental health stuff, like, I have had the struggles of like, am I doing enough? Am I productive enough?
Well,
I can't
every day.
I can't work enough. Am I working enough? Am I doing enough for the band? But like, we've been brainwashed by a culture that your value is based off of how productive you are, how much content you output, how many hours you work, how much you're doing, how much you're making, whatever. We've been indoctrinated by this, you know, United States of currency, and you just gotta take a break sometimes, and you gotta realize that you can't win them all, and sometimes you're gonna fuck up, and it doesn't matter, because there's always tomorrow. there's always another second to do something new. So it doesn't really matter.
You said it best, man. Thank you so much again for being on my show. You're
of course.
Really the best. I really support you with all my heart. And
I always support you so much.
Thanks, dude. I will always be around for any phone call you need. But again, go check out Dread Buffalo. Go check out Mind Talk. Go check out all of the stuff that you're doing, which is incredible.
Thank you.
And thank you so much again for being on the podcast, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much, Morgan. And thank you for having me on. This has been really nice. Honestly, really wonderful.
Dude, you're the best. I'll talk to you later, okay?
Yeah, talk to you.